The SoCal Sound Sessions are listener and member supported. Please consider becoming a subscribing member. Click subscribe now at the top of the SoCalSound.org and make sure to choose live sessions from the drop-down menu.
Hola, ¿qué tal, mi gente? You're here on the SoCal Sound and you're watching another coveted SoCal Sound session. And while you're here, please consider subscribing, giving this video a like, and leaving a little comment. I'm Byron Gonzalez, and today I am honored to be welcoming in studio crooner, songwriter, and the band leader of an amazing band called The Sinceres. Right here, we got Joey Quiñones.
So, man, thanks for having me.
Amigo?
Muy bien, muy bien.
Un gusto de tenerte aquí.
So happy to be here.
Yeah, actually, it's been kind of a long time coming. Back in 2019, you guys were going to play the Levitt, and I was like, I got to have this band in. And it's hard to coordinate with a bunch of people.
With nine people.
Yeah.
Nine fools from Islos, yeah.
So I'm sure. But now we have you, which is the important part. And I wish the band was here, but, you know.
Yeah. We all have our different roles. So right now, everybody's doing their thing. I got to do this in my part. So, you know, just got to divide and conquer, you know?
Yeah, exactly. True. You got a lot of things to juggle, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Joey, thanks for coming here again. You're about to play a couple songs in there. But after we get to know a little bit more about Joey and who you are, just brass tacks, are you a coffee or tea person in the morning?
Ooh. That's a good question. On the road, I like to drink tea. I can't do coffee because coffee just gets me so messed up. You know what I mean?
Oh, really?
And I'm already kind of naturally a little bit too much. So, you know, coffee just amplifies that. So I'm going to say tea.
Cool. Yeah. And are you a morning person or are you more of a night owl?
Night owl, yeah.
Night owl?
This is really hard for me right now.
I know, it's like 11.
Yeah, the musicians are the worst. But then, you know, there's just like some guys that's like they get up early, you know, and that's how they get their stride in the day, you know. But I'm more of like, let me sleep throughout the day. I'll deal with everything when everybody's asleep, you know, in the night. Yeah. But
that's cool. You work in the shadows.
Yeah. Love the dark. Love my little cave.
That's awesome. What would you say growing up is an album that like you just could not stop listening to, whether it influenced you or not, or it was just a guilty pleasure? It's just an album that you just couldn't put down. Like you couldn't take it out of your Walkman.
There was, I think the first one, like, you know, you hear songs and you like your songs, but, you know, back then, you know, there wasn't the MP3s you could just access, so you had to buy the albums and sit through 14 songs so you get to yours, you know. But I think the first album that really, like, I just played all the way through constantly on every CD player, on everybody's CD player, check this out, you know. It was like a band from the Bay Area called Operation Ivy, you know, from Berkeley, so, which eventually turned into Rancid. But yeah, that was just, it was just so energetic, and the album's called Energy, so it's just what was so fitting. It got me influenced not only in punk rock and singing and playing, but reggae and ska, because they were kind of like a hybrid band. So it was cool. It was interesting hearing those combinations for the first time.
Yeah, I love that band too. I gotta say that's my favorite, and that was like a gateway to everything else.
It seriously was. Yeah,
that's awesome. What would you say is your favorite food?
Peruvian.
A specific Peruvian dish.
Lomo saltado, for sure.
Oh, yeah?
I think I'm going to get that after this. Right?
There's some good Peruvian places around here
really?
In the valley. Yeah, I've had like three good places. I'll give you some after.
Need that, yeah.
It's really good. They're not that far.
Oh, there you go.
Like down the street.
Yeah, I've had it for the first time. My lady actually introduced it to me. She has a local restaurant by where her mom lives and stuff. And she was trying to convince. She was trying to explain it to me. I'm like, so it's seafood or not? And it's Peruvian, you know? And it just blew my mind, and it's been like our one of our spots for sure.
Nice, yeah, I love Peruvian. Do you have a favorite planet? Is that a thing for you? Do you like outer space?
Interstellar. I consider myself an interstellar feller for sure. That's what we call it. But
I like that.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I the sun is definitely like my source of anything. You know, but. I get kind of like really, my sister was really into astrology and she kind of like made a lot of sense of things and kind of in a spooky way too. But she kind of like, you know, got me into that kind of sense of spiritualness, but also like, you know, science and all the things that kind of just tie together in a weird mythical kind of sense. So I definitely, you know, like seasons are more like weather and stuff like that is like definitely something that attracts me because, you know, like yesterday, the other day, it was like the sky was so nice, and I was just like, damn, this is crazy. That's why, that's probably why I feel good right now, you know? So I always get, you know, feelings from that stuff more than like planets and stars and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. More of the weather and more just how things flow in the universe, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. Are you much of a reader? Do you read?
Yeah, I love reading. Mostly, but dark, like, you know, autobiography stuff, or it's just like, you know, the so-and-so in the studio stories and stuff like that.
Do you have a favorite?
Yeah, right now I'm reading, it's a book, Jeff Emmerich, actually, he's a producer, engineer, well, more really the engineer, during the Beatles era when they were kind of really, really experimental and really just kind of going for it, and, you know, they were making money for everybody, so everybody's just letting them go crazy, you know? But it's a book called Here, There, Everywhere. Here, There, and Everywhere. And it's cool because, you know, a lot of these Beatles books, they protect, you know, the stories and the lore of them so much that you tend to hear a lot of the same stories. But, you know, this book is interesting because, you know, he's kind of telling like how it is, you know. It's like, Paul came in this day, like, really bullying everybody, and Ringo just didn't care. You know, he just was so real about it, and he, you know, had to manage and deal with all these egos, you know, at a most critical time. So it was cool to see that little different change up, because I'm a big, huge Beatles fan and Beatles books. And those are the type of books I read, you know, just, you know, documentary type, you know.
You know, would it be worth a read to read a The Sincere's book?
It'd be crazy. That needs like a movie, you know, for sure.
Is one of those coming of age,
or
coming of soul movies.
And it's funny because, you know, like, those are my favorite movies too. You know, La Bamba and anything to do with, you know, you see the rise and the story and where they come from, and you get to put the whole picture behind it. It's a trip.
And it'd be cool to put East Los Angeles into that realm of movies. There's been a few, but we need more.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why. Did you watch that This Fool on the Hulu?
Yeah.
I thought that was such a nice, like, and it sucks that's not going on anymore, but I thought that was such a nice little leap for everything that's going on right now with music and stuff like that.
It was cool. Yeah, that was really cool. Yeah. So we got to get to know Joey Quiñones a little bit more. Now let's talk about work, man. Yeah. You just released your new debut album, Sincerely Yours. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It is a beautiful album. Go check it out right now. Here's the album art for you. So you can go to your favorite record store and pick one up, or online, right?
It's available at all Target.
All Target?
Yeah, my lady told me that. She's like, you know, they're selling your record at Target. And I'm like, that's pretty cool.
There you go. Yeah. While you're grabbing some groceries, grab The Sincere, Sincerely Yours.
I'm not getting paid for that, by the way. It's not a sponsorship.
You kind of are. Yeah. If they pick up your album.
Yeah. I'll see something of that, yeah.
Yeah. It was a long time coming. You were telling me that you had it in the can since 2020.
Yeah.
How did that feel? I don't know. Like, now that it is out, what are your emotions and what do you hope for the album to do for not just you, but the fans?
See, I've thought about all these questions so many times. And, you know, for me, it's I sat in my bedroom in my underwear probably writing these songs, you know?
And,
I got to, those are literally my babies, because I went through the whole stages of writing it, fixing it, writing it, show it to the band, changing it, going back to my original, you know, like just all the emotions of the insecurities, the emotions and the you know, the process of all of this stuff that leading up to, you know, when it's finally out. And, you know, when the pandemic happened, it just threw more of that curveball into it. And it seemed like, well, maybe it's not meant to be, you know, and we didn't really know. Once that was it, we didn't force it. We didn't say like, well, let's just put it digital and, you know, just have it. Mm-hmm. That wasn't ever an option. It was just like, when the time is right, this album's gonna come out. You know, we were so lucky that Coal Mine was so, and Penrose, you know, that those labels were so like kind of patient with us, and they really believed in it, because, you know, coming for the town that we come from and, you know, the background a lot of us come from, it's important for us to be able to do it proper and do it, pay it respectfully to the people that came before us, all the influences, and especially our community. So I'm happy that it happened the way it did, because it was supposed to happen that way, you know? So, and I can't complain about that.
But. Yeah, it's kind of hard. It's kind of crazy to think that it's your debut, because you've been making music for the longest. You have your singles and then to finally have this collection of new music to the audience that it's like, oh, we haven't heard. We've been listening to your music for so long, and you gotten so popular just off a few releases.
And we were so lucky in that, because a lot of the guys in the band too were backing up and doing a lot of session work for, you know, for an all. I was writing for like Trish and a lot of the artists coming out of LA, and you know, a lot of our band members were helping out when the Sacred Souls came in. You know, helping them with horn stuff and arrangement stuff. So it was just like we were always kind of present because we were still working and still kind of. People still knew, you know, us and what we were doing. So when the album came out, I was like, oh yeah, they have a record too. Huh? Yeah. That's cool, you know.
It's cool. How many of these songs, even before it was recorded, like how many were in your back pocket, or did these like spur of the moment you just wrote them?
On this record, some of them we've been like singing in bars. You know, me and Paco, my guitar player, used to sing a couple of these songs on the corner of Uptown Whittier, you know, busking, just trying to like bust chops and like just build our sound, you know. And you know, I used to tell them, like, if we could get people to like not expecting to like dance or groove on their way to work to stop for a second and like forget about that, then that's good, you know. That take that as like people like clapping in an audience, you know. So we definitely had a lot of trial and error stuff and just kind of like building and really shedding the wood and getting better at what we do. So that time was critical because it really, you know, there's a lot of bands, you know, sometimes they get to a certain point so fast that they don't know how to do certain things or manage, you know, a lot of situations. And I'm glad that everybody in our group is really seasoned in that and really respectful to that and always willing to, you know, sit in a van for 9 hours.
all of these songs are about love and falling out of love and breaking hearts. Have you experienced a lot of that?
Yeah.
Are you
definitely?
Is that where
it definitely does? You know, because especially, you know, being a touring musician, let alone like, you know, having been the producer and the engineer and the writer, it's like, you know, every relation, when do you have time for me, you know? So you know, finding somebody that's understanding of that and always, you know, supportive of that is big thing for me to you know, to search for and come across and lose, and you know, those experiences, they teach you some things and they make you understand how to feel certain things, you know?
I don't know if you can speak to the whole band, but you know, you've been on tour for a long time. You go on tour all the time. You have this great knit of bandmates and friends. But when you're on tour, are you able to say who's like, who's the mom, who's the dad, who's the responsible one? Yeah.
Yeah, everybody.
What are you in that role?
I'm kind of like the, I don't know. That's not for me to answer, maybe.
Okay.
But it is, everybody has their roles. Everybody, you know, I'm part of the group that stays up way too late. You know?
Yeah.
So that's, there's a couple of us that you just, after the shows, we're just so excited and so amped up from the crowd. It's like, and just, you know, recapping all that throughout the day and just sitting in with a couple of the guys and just having those really intimate conversations late at night are, you know, it's really, really cool things. But, you know, we have the mom in the band, the dads, and, you know, I would say Bolio is like the dad, or Chris, the bass player. He's the dad because he's the one, you know. I know he stresses out a lot of us. I'm more like the fun uncle, you know, like the one that, you know, will like, you know, take you to the concert and don't tell your mom, you know.
Yeah, but, that's funny.
But so, yeah, and everybody else is just a bunch of, you know, siblings, and a bunch of their kids, softball team.
Running around.
Yeah.
That's funny. I know you just released this album, but are you always constantly writing? Is there already like something else in the works?
Yeah, I think that was cool too. Like getting this album out, it just opened up like the possibility, and it just was like wiping a clean slate, you know. So immediately after, literally when they were shared the pre-order link, I was like writing songs. Like, okay, I don't have to worry about that
anymore. That's funny.
And it happens at really scary times because you go through these moments of, that's it. I wrote all my songs. That's it. I don't know what to do anymore. But then all of a sudden, something, you know, you go on a tour with the band. We've been lucky enough to have been able to pick like our support acts for the tours. So, you know, we're just always bringing bands that we like, bands that make sense, and, you know, and some of our friends, you know. So we did a tour with this band called The Charities. They're kind of from like Northern Cali, San Diego, back and forth. And I just, you know, they're good friends and they have a good sound, really great musicians, but shout out to The Charities. And I came home and just immediately started writing songs because it was just like, just not necessarily a different sound, but it was just inspiring in a way, you know, just hearing something new and liking it, you know, and coming home and like getting your pen out and your guitar. So it was, those things are what kind of fuel that at random times. You know.
Nice. Yeah, it's a whole experience, and just like there's so many, you just go through so much even when on tour mm-hmm. and everything. I can't imagine.
Oh, that's the thing. I was like, I always imagine like, oh, I'm gonna be on tour writing, but that's.
It doesn't happen that much?
Not as much, because okay. we're always kind of like, right now at least, you know, we're always like boom, 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 boom. So, you know, when you can sleep, you got to get it in, you know. Mm. But so there's like, you know, sometimes it's, you know, does the opportunities kind of rarely come up. I know Brian, I always see him writing on the road, which is a cool thing to see, because okay. you see the evolution of stuff like that. And then you hear the Altons play it live, and it's just like, wow. I remember he was in a pit stop station, you know, gas station around this. That.
Oh, that's interesting. Know. Yeah, and the Altons, they're also part of these Sincere's yeah. With like a few members. And how does that dynamic work when on tour? I'm sure, I know you can't probably speak to them, but maybe just seeing Brian and Adriana, do you see that they get exhausted or?
I don't think they get exhausted. I just, like I've been in the back, stuffed in the van since I was 14, you know, so that's like, for me, like weirdly, like as soon as I get into the van, I knock out, you know,
okay.
That's the only way it's like being cradled to sleep. But
yeah,
you know, sometimes like, you know, and it's hard being like in Adriana's position, she's the only girl with the exception of Caitlin. They're the only two girls around nine other dudes who yeah. are just really over the top. So they have the thickest skin, and they manage everything so cool and collective. It's cool. It's cool to see, because they could easily be like, I don't need to deal with this, you know.
And just peace
fly
out.
Me out. You know, I'll see you guys at the gig. But they sit through it because they know that's how awesome. Important that time is to put into it. So to see them tough it out, and you know, not just because they're you know, women and you know, outnumbered, but just because they're, you know, learning how to manage this new realm and this new stage of, you know, being in a band. It's cool to see.
That's really cool. I'm always a person about titles. I like how titles come together. How did this title come together? Like, was it a no-brainer? Like, Sincerely Yours, that's what it's going to be from the get-go. Or was there an evolution to how you were going to title your debut album?
I think it was it was naturally a no-brainer sense, but at the same time, I can't stress how much it felt like it was never going to happen, you know?
Mm.
So, you know, a lot of the songs kind of like, I try to do a lot of titles engaging, like, you know, for you, you know, Take a Chance on Me, you know, just like very personal. And Sincerely Yours was just like, it just felt like, you know, we went through all this, and this is our story, this is our love letter, and it's, you know, it's for you guys. And it's like, you know, Sincerely Yours, us, you know. So it was just, it just fit. We had the song, I think the song was written first, Sincerely Yours, and then the band name came as the Sincere's, and then so it was just, when there was an every opportunity to do a tour or a record, it was a no-brainer to use that first, you know.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's awesome, man. Well, let's get you in there, get you on the piano.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming by all the way to Northridge, man.
Yeah. Always good to see you.
Yeah, likewise. I hope I get to see you on tour. They're about to go on tour, hit a bunch of cities, so they're coming to a city near you. And go grab Sincerely Yours. Joey Quiñones, thank you again.
Appreciate you, man.
Can you give a little, like, entice the audience to stick around? What songs are you going to perform for them right now?
I'm going to do all the sad, cheesy, no. I'm going to do a couple songs, you know, from the record that, you know, we've been playing for a minute, and we're excited for you guys to hear this intimate version of it, because, you know, that's, you know, it's kind of like where the process starts, and, you know, you're able to hear the record and hear the full picture of it. But, you know, doing something like this is kind of, it's my jam, because I love doing that stuff. But what's his name? Our you know, our 45, our I guess somewhat our most popular song. And just another original song, a newer song that I've been writing and working in. I've always kind of played around with, and given an opportunity, now I'm gonna try it. I'm gonna do it, you know, so.
Perfect, there you go. Joey Quiñones from The Sincere's, here for you on the SoCal Sound. Thank you for watching. Thank you.
hey, it ain't nothing new to me. Pain, heartaches, it ain't nothing new. Your picture all through the night, wondering if maybe could have done your right. Pain and heartaches, it ain't nothing new. They're singing about brotherly love, peace and harmony. Take a chance on me, I love you, I do. Take a chance on me, I love you, I do. If love was a flame, let it burn like a torch around the world. Love was a game. Take my hand and roll the dice upon the board, 'cause I need you. Take a chance on me. Yes, I need you. Take a chance on me. Take a chance on me. I love you, I do. Take a chance on me. I love you, I do, 'cause it's been so long since I've seen the love that I lost, and I'm feeling that she's feeling. Yes, I'm feeling to my arms. Yes, I'm gonna get her before it's
too late. Take a chance on me.
SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Session hosted by Byron Gonzalez. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce. Edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.